D-Smith, welcome in. It is the latest edition of the Unnamed Soccer Podcast. The Unnamed Soccer Podcast is brought to you by Three Punk Ales in Chula Vista. They are brewing our beer right now. They're brewing it, Darren, and we're getting closer to goal. So that's the good news. I'm distracted today. I'm very distracted going into this podcast.
You are.
Very distracted. I don't know if you heard this, but Chelsea, a team that is from London, they play in a league called the Premier League, Darren. They qualified for Champions League this year. Did you know that?
Did not, but congratulations.
Thank you.
Good to have you back. No, I did know that. I will say the Champions League draw is ongoing literally while Jordan and I are recording this podcast. So there are two things happening. Number one, Three Punk Ales is brewing Gulch, and the Champions League draw is happening in Monaco. Is it Monaco? Monaco for the lazy Americans who don't know how to pronounce European stuff.
Monaco!
But is it? It's in Monaco, right?
I
do believe so. And I only know that because I keep reading report after report after report about the FC Barcelona board meeting with the board for PSG about Neymar in Monaco. So I believe that's where the draw is taking place. Now, you and I could do a live reaction show to it, except there's no TV channel in the United States that's showing the Champions League draw. TNT, WTF, where are you when we need you?
Did you expect anyone to broadcast this?
They've done it before.
Have they?
Used to do it.
Oh, man. Like Fox Sports 2? Fox Sports?
Whatever, man. As long as you can get it on a television. I'm not picky. I'm not saying they have to interrupt coverage here and put it on Big Fox. All I'm saying is, can you give us a goddamn channel so we can watch the Champions League draw?
So I'm following along on Champions League Twitter right now. That's what I'm doing. It is from Monaco.
Monaco.
That is where they're doing it. So we can... the groups are actually happening right now. I have no idea who Chelsea are in with. I don't know who Barca are in with. I don't know if their balls have even been selected. But that's what's happening.
It's a grueling process that takes way too long because they just drag up a million former players. They hand out a couple of awards. People get up there. They circle the balls around. Then you determine who's going to be in which pot and this pot and that pot. So I don't miss the actual drama in real time as I'm sort of bitching about it here.
Right.
But I will say it takes way too long. Okay. You're distracting everybody now.
Okay.
Now people can see your reaction as you're looking at the draw.
Things are happening in the draw. Things are happening. We'll let it play out. But oh my gosh.
Really?
We're going to get to a lot of things.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I can see some of them. The draw is not complete, but
Give me one thing.
Okay, the first thing I noticed is that Manchester City are in the easiest group possible. I haven't even seen the other groups, and I promise you they're in the easiest group possible. That's my first reaction. My second reaction is that Messi's very good. He won something. Forward of the season. But also PSG...
Forward of the season?
PSG and Real Madrid are in the same group, so that's exciting.
Oh my God, that means you pretty much... Well, that means Neymar's definitely going to Barca.
That's what that means. That's my takeaway.
Seriously.
He can't go to either one.
You're not going to trade him to Real Madrid. Not trade him, but you're not going to sell him to Real Madrid at this point.
Right. Also, from what we've seen so far, and this is a weird way to do a podcast because by the time people see it, they're already going to know the groups. But Bayern and Tottenham are in the same group as well, so... We'll see how it plays out. I have not seen who Chelsea are.
Bayern and Spurs. So Philippe Coutinho, opposite Spurs. Interesting. All right. Well, there you go. How you doing, man? Good to see you.
I'm excited that Chelsea are back in Champions League. I'm going to enjoy this year while I can because I don't know if they'll be back in Champions League anytime soon. It's a patient process for Chelsea fans, Darren. So I'm going to go ahead and enjoy Champions League. There's a lot going on in soccer.
There is a lot going on in this sport, and I don't know exactly which direction we're going to start. I know we could start with the U.S. Open Cup. We could probably start with MLS, which we don't normally do because MLS had a really, really good weekend, capped off with a great match on Sunday night on Fox Sports between LAFC and the LA Galaxy. I had a lot of fun watching that, and I was super thrilled that it seemed like so many people who weren't even soccer fans were tuning in and watching that. You talk about Chelsea. Chelsea had a pretty good weekend. I didn't get up and watch that at 4:30. Was that a set the DVR or set the alarm clock?
Set the DVR.
So they had a really, really fun match. Chelsea did, picking up their first win for Lampard. I could go into Spain. I could tell you about Antoine Griezmann. Antoine Griezmann, who had a hell of a debut. I can't know. For Barca when they needed him with no Messi and no Suarez and no Dembele. So that was significant. The U.S. roster is out. The call-ups are out. We could talk a little bit about the mix of youth and MLS there. So I'm with you, pal. We could talk about a lot of stuff. USL, there's some breaking USL news, which could impact our home market here of San Diego. So take it away there, pal.
All right, so let's bring up USL to start because we have – I brought gifts today. This is a magnet. This was – I was at a parking lot, Darren. I was at a brewery. My car was in the parking lot. And I came back out, and my car, my Jeep, was covered in these. Covered. Not just one. Covered.
Wow.
Absolutely covered.
Don't mind if I do.
Yeah. So we have stuff to give away. We have USL San Diego stuff to give away. So that's exciting. They announced a new broadcast deal with ESPN, right? That's the announcement. The fact that they're going to be what seems to be ESPN Plus, where USL has been for quite some time. So now a couple questions. Still waiting to find out officially when this team will launch. Will it be 2020, 2021? People think that there is a chance that 2020 happens. I think the next couple of weeks are very important for that. So we'll see what happens. But USL, they do get the news that there is a new broadcast. And the new broadcasting deal, that's the news. And it's the fact that the value of the deal goes up over $1 million.
Yeah.
1.2, I think. It went from about 400,000 to about 1.2. I didn't see the breakdown. Is that annual? Is that total? I don't know. But
this is important. And it's not important in the context of, wow, okay, low seven figures is how they officially released it. That ESPN is now going to pay the United Soccer League at the championship level, which is the league that we're talking about, which is the level of soccer that Landon Donovan and Warren Smith are attempting to bring to town. You might say to yourself, wow, $1 million, guys? Really? Like that doesn't sound like a heck of a lot of money. And you'd be right if you're going to spend your time comparing it to the NFL or Major League Baseball. But here's what's significant, and here's where we as soccer fans are proven right yet again. When we talk about this sport being a growth sport in the United States, immediately those who only focus on NFL or, you know, whatever we would consider to be traditional U.S. sports, they go, well, hold on a sec, please, pipe down over there. USL has never been paid to be on television in the 10 years that it has existed. So the fact that they are making any money through any television contract with ESPN Plus is significant in that it's never happened. Because usually the way it's gone is that USL pays a company to broadcast their games. Or they just, it's called a trade-out deal, which you and I know from the radio business, where, you know, certain radio stations sometimes will pay leagues and teams to broadcast their rights. Lesser, I hate using that term, but you know, not at the top of the food chain when it comes to professional sports in the United States. Sometimes you got to pay to be on a radio station or pay to be on a television station. So the fact that USL has actually figured a deal where they're getting compensation for broadcasts of their games with ESPN absolutely significant, and it's only going to grow from here. I mean, it's only going to increase in value, you would think, now that we've seen our first seven-figure deal for USL.
Yeah, it's a big deal for a lot of reasons. It's a big deal because of the financial value. It's a big deal because these games are now going to be available to you no matter what. They're going to be available to you. You're going to be able to watch these. You're going to be able to stream these. You're going to be able to go on ESPN Plus, which you can subscribe to. What is ESPN Plus?
$5 a month.
$5 a month. And it's actually part of the new Disney deal. Did you see that? The new Disney bundle coming out? They've actually worked that in with Hulu Plus. So if you're going to go ahead and sign up for that anyway, you're going to have ESPN Plus, which means not only are you going to be able to watch USL San Diego, Darren, you're going to be able to watch all the other teams. You're going to be able to watch Orange County, and you're going to be able to root against them and hope they lose every single match they play in. You're going to be able to watch all these other clubs that you're going to learn to hate in this league. Are you looking at Champions League results right now?
Do you want to know? Do you want to know Group H?
Tell me about Valencia, because I know Chelsea and Valencia, as we totally stop on a dime here, but like we said, the Champions League draw is going on
Chelsea,
right now.
Chelsea, Ajax, Valencia, and a French club that I'm not familiar with. Valencia good, probably better last year.
Okay.
Probably better to get in the Champions League than they are sustaining.
Well, the Pot 2 team is the best team in that.
Ajax?
I would imagine
but
so.
But they also sold all their best players.
Yeah.
So... Barcelona has Dortmund.
Right. I saw that.
Inter.
Oof.
And Slavia Praha. Interesting.
At the end, we'll give you the full list, but I think you should feel a little bit better so far than Chelsea.
getting back to USL, if I might, just for those who are in San Diego, interview Friday night on Kogo Radio with Landon Donovan, giving us the very latest. I will say, it sounds like all signs, whether it's these stickers or magnets or any of the chatter out there on the street, again, all signs point towards March of 2020 on ESPN+. And I also would say that there's a tie-in here for a brief moment on the U.S. Open Cup.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if you watched the U.S. Open Cup or not. The Open Cup final was in Atlanta. Atlanta won its third trophy, Jordan, in 9 months, if you want to include the Campeones Cup. But they did win the MLS Cup last year. Campeones Cup, I think, just a couple of weeks back. And now the U.S. Open Cup. I bring up the U.S. Open Cup, Atlanta over Minnesota.
2-1.
1-2-1. I thought it was... Did you watch? I watched. I thought it was really good. Just because the U.S. Open Cup is the longest running soccer competition in the United States. 80-something teams compete in it, all 21 MLS clubs, the 25 non-affiliated USL clubs, meaning you can't have LA Galaxy 2, you can't have Portland Timbers 2, or you know any of those feeder clubs. So this is something very realistically that could be coming to San Diego next year that Landon Donovan has reinforced that they will not be an affiliated club. 11 clubs from the state of California, two USL clubs made it to the quarterfinals, one St. Louis FC. The other one would be New Mexico United.
Yeah.
So, and both lost to the teams that played in the championship match. So, you know, this is a tournament that not everybody knows. I wish there was some more popularity behind it. I wish it was supported, but I think it's up to us now to support this, hopefully in 2020. When the USL San Diego club lifts off,
So to be determined still is when they're gonna actually open, when they're gonna have their first season. Like you said, 2020 a real possibility. We'll see if anything official comes up the next couple of weeks. Still to be determined, and it sounds like it will be determined by San Diegans. Are the colors, and also the name. Do you have a strong opinion either way on? Let's start with the name here, because there's two different directions you can go with a name. You can stick with the classic. You can just SDFC, AFCSD, which people have pointed out AFC also could work out for America's finest city. But do you want to go down that road? I don't know. Or do you want something with like a nickname a little bit more, like a Seattle Sounders
or a like Portland... the Tampa Rowdies?
Yeah, I think Do you have a strong opinion on that? Do you care which way they go?
I don't, as long as I like it, you know, and as long as it flows. I mean, I will tell you right now, whether it was MLS or USL, I have zero problem if you want to go with SDFC. Seriously, I understand it's not the most creative name, but if you want to call it the San Diego Football Club, I'm good with that.
It works out for LAFC pretty well.
Works out pretty well for LAFC. I agree. And I also think it's important for a lot of people here, given the state of affairs in our sports climate, that you do get San Diego involved in some capacity. Because I've heard from a lot of people who said, listen, I don't really follow soccer, but if you put San Diego involved, if you get San Diego on a shirt, or if you get San Diego on a jersey, I'm in. You know, give me something. Give me a flag that says San Diego. Give me a scarf that says San Diego. I'm in. So, you know, I think that that's a point of pride for people who live here, that you get San Diego involved. Now, that could mean SDFC or SDSC if you want to go FC San Diego. I mean, again, like I don't have any. I would say stay away from United and stay away from Real. Real doesn't make any sense in this country. You know what that is? That's Royal in Spanish. So, you know, that doesn't make any sense that you have, you know, Real Salt Lake. Like, what does that even mean? You know, it means something different when it's Real Madrid. But, you know, I'm appreciative. I don't want to be hokey. You know, I don't want to be like, you know, I mean, what's a typical San Diego looking thing? Like, what's like I'm trying to think of something that you would say like represents like the San Diego Panda Bears, you know, or
like the sun.
I don't think
like the surf already exists.
The soul.
I think the soul
in Spanish.
I think the soul already exists.
If you want to mix a little bit of English and Spanish.
I think
you want to
should.
Combine some English and Spanish.
That
words.
Is actually I'm one of the cool things well. That I'm excited for with this group, because it brings in the entire region that are also going to bring in Mexico fans. It's also going to bring in U.S. fans. So usually when you're rooting against like Mexico against the U.S. Mm-hmm. on the national stage, it's going to be very different at the USL level here locally, because a lot of fans who will support Mexico and also a lot of fans who support the U.S. will be supporting USL San Diego together.
Now, again, we also have to just take a quick step back and remind everybody that San Diego in itself is a Spanish name.
Right.
So San Diego.
So again, get back to the fact just to include the name San Diego. Do you have any preference on colors? Any? Anything you want to avoid?
You know, I don't mean to be wishy-washy about this. I just don't. I just know what it would look like. I mean, again, if you want to use LAFC as a great template here, they pick the right colors. Now, I've heard people say powder blue because it was the Chargers. I've heard people say brown because that's what they want the Padres to wear. I mean, I don't think you need to attach, you know, your entire identity with things that have already been done in town. I don't. You know, I think it should be representative somewhat of the climate and being in Southern California. But if they wanted to go with something that was a little bit darker and something that had a little bit of a contrast, you know, like a black and a white, a dark and a light, you know, I'm all about that, too. But, you know, I will let the experts. Yeah, I just want to, you know, I just want to watch it.
You know right. I mean? But I think the cool thing is that they're including everyone in the process. Yeah. So they do want to hear people's opinion on it. And if you do have a preference on colors and a name, it is something they want to hear. And they're going through that process. I saw one of the names when you took that survey. You took the same one, Darren. Do you want to actually have like a name? Do you want to be the San Diego Surf? Or like, obviously you're not going to have that because it's already a team. But you know what I'm saying. Or do you want to have an old school, just traditional name? And it's something we'll find out here pretty soon.
Yeah, I do
as
like
we get
Nomads, you know, because Nomads has a really special meaning for people, for soccer, for the soccer community and culture in town. So if you wanted to go with Nomads just as a tip of the cap to you know, what has been so important and significant in the market, like I'd be good with that as well. I'd be good with a lot of things. Again, you know, I just want it to flow. I want it to make sense. I don't want it to be Footy McFooty Face.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't want it to be stupid. I don't want it to be hokey. Again, which is why I say if you want to just go to a default setting of FC San Diego, like that's fine by me. That is absolutely fine by me. If you wanted to do something similar to what our friends south of the border do, where it's, you know, it's Club Tijuana or Club San Diego and it's Cholos, are good with that as well. I just, you know, I don't want it to be, you know, something that a lot of San Diegans sort of resent. You know, like every time a big nationally televised game came to town, you know, they'd show you like the bridge and they'd show you the zoo. Like, I don't want it to be one of those things like Anchorman.
Yeah.
You know, the things that sort of like can potentially grate on people from the market. Like, let's do this the right way.
Yeah.
I don't think that they will.
Yeah.
And I mean, what did Warren Smith come up with in Sacramento? You know, I mean, that's Sacramento Republic.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good day. I mean, I like that. I mean, it's way better than Real whatever.
Right.
Yeah. You
know. Yeah. So we'll see what happens with the colors. I don't have a strong opinion on the colors. I will say I don't want them to be brown. I don't want them to be brown. Because it sounds like the Padres are definitely going brown. So I don't.
Yeah.
You don't need to. You don't need to be brown as well.
Yeah, you can look really, really sharp.
I'm okay with powder blues, though.
I'm okay with some combination of that area, that neighborhood of blue. I'm with you.
And I do love the fact that they're going to, if they start in 2020, U.S. Open Cup, you're going to be part of that conversation. And I don't know the answer to this. Why was the final in Atlanta? Why is there a home field advantage in that one? I'm not sure. Well, is that just because Atlanta wins everything? Is that why?
Same way with the MLS Cup, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like that should be a neutral spot.
Hmm.
Like before we were getting a team, San Diego would have been a great spot to host that every single
Maybe.
Year.
Maybe. All Somewhere right. down the road. We all understand that soccer in this country is far from a finished product.
Yes, it is evolving. No doubt about that. We saw the U.S. men's national team, Darren, put out their roster. 26-player roster. They're getting ready for a couple of friendlies coming up. Two matches. Mexico, Uruguay, they're coming up. Christian Pulisic is the headliner. As you would expect, he is on the roster, one of the 26. And these matches are coming up when? September 6th is the one against Mexico at MetLife Stadium. I'm expecting a lot of fans to be in that building. I don't know how many of them will be U.S. fans.
Yeah, it's a shame that we're getting nothing that's even geographically possible for us through either one of these friendly matches. Because every time the friendly list comes out and every time they start scheduling and they give you the roster, immediately, at least for me, I look and see, is it feasible? Is it possible for me to go? You know, Phoenix would be about as far as I would consider LA, but nothing even close to home here. As far as the roster itself, I think last time when we talked after the Gold Cup final, we said maybe we just need to cut the cord here with Josie out the door and Michael Bradley. I'm not suggesting that Greg Berhalter is a listener or a viewer now of this podcast, but and I'm not suggesting that this is the way it's going to go forever, because I suspect it won't.
No.
But I was okay with neither one of them being on the call-up sheet.
So you were okay with it. Greg Berhalter was not okay with it. It sounds like Berhalter wanted Michael Bradley. He wanted Josie Altidore, Omar Gonzalez to be included here. He was quoted going in to this match when he announced the rosters. He said the MLS schedule, not only did it influence his roster decision-making, mm-hmm. it actually frustrated his roster decision-making. He said he's disappointed MLS teams are choosing to play during FIFA windows. So Toronto is in a race right now. They're trying to get a playoff spot. And to take away multiple players from that team at that caliber as well, to take them out in a chase, in a hunt where they're trying to make the postseason, you put Toronto in a really difficult spot. But then which one do you prefer? Do you want to make sure the U.S. men's national team is evolving and growing at maximum capacity? Or are you worried about Toronto's football club? It's a weird dynamic. It's a dynamic that's going to continue to be at play because MLS teams continue to play in these windows. And
if only there were some way to predict that, we might have had these conflicts. And if only people hadn't been running on a platform to be the head of U.S. soccer saying that this is the sort of thing that we could avoid.
Yeah. Hmm. Berhalter, quote, "We had to weigh Toronto's soccer club." The U.S. men's national team had to weigh Toronto's soccer club, Darren. So obviously the takeaway is Canada is sabotaging our U.S. men's national team.
Okay, but by the same token, I'm sure that Greg Berhalter was in this position a year ago where he might have been pushing for an MLS playoff spot and said, gosh, Jassy's artist?
Yeah. Last time we saw the U.S. men's national team, a 1-0 loss to Mexico, Gold Cup final. We were both very disappointed with that result because it came the same day that the women won the World Cup. And I remember we got some pushback on our Instagram page. People saying, listen, you're being a little dramatic. It's a loss to Mexico. They were competitive. They look good. And there's really not that. It's okay. Everything's going to be all right, which I guess. But on a day the women won the World Cup, I think it's okay to be frustrated that the men go out and look somewhat flat against Mexico. And that's the last time we saw them. So we're hoping for something a little bit better.
Can I just say one other thing about Greg Berhalter, though, for a second here? If he's frustrated that he can't get the MLS players that he wants, then we're probably in
trouble.
More trouble than we even realize.
So you're not going to make it out to MetLife Stadium? How about St. Louis? You going to go to the Lou?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, that's what's going on with the U.S. men's national team. Please, Christian Pulisic, don't get hurt.
Please. John Brooks, please don't get hurt.
Yeah, all of them.
I mean, there are younger players here who we haven't yet seen, so I mean, I'm good with it. I don't need to watch these MLS players anymore. As a matter of fact, send Will Trapp back to Columbus while you're at it. And maybe they need him more than the U.S. national team wins.
You're right, though. It's a young roster. I think there's a couple new names, two names that have never appeared on the roster before. So I think there's going to be a lot of fun there. Walker Zimmerman, LAFC, he's on the roster as well. But, of course, Pulisic is your headliner. So that's what's going on with the U.S. men's national team as they get ready. September 6th, Darren, against Mexico.
Good.
Very good stuff. Very good stuff. So USL San Diego, we had swag. We got U.S. men's national team. And we have Barcelona drama. We have stuff going on in the Prem as we wrap this thing up. I was not surprised this week, but you actually seem to be enjoying the Prem this season early on.
I did? Well, I enjoyed it because Palace went into, because I called it when we did our Premier League preview. I did say that you asked who would finish on top, who would finish ahead, higher up on the table, Palace or United, and I know I said Crystal Palace.
You did.
Well, we went a long way this past weekend where United won, Palace 2, where we had Van Aanholt scoring very, very late in a match at Old Trafford. So I felt really, really good about that. United still can't figure out who's supposed to take their penalties. It doesn't really matter. They've had all sorts of issues there. So I felt really validated as I was watching the Premier League over the weekend, watching Crystal Palace.
So the main takeaway this weekend is that Palace will actually finish on top of United on the table.
That's one of them. That's one of them for me. I mean, we see that, City's doing City things. Liverpool's doing Liverpool things against Arsenal, which they always do. Chelsea is mentioned. I thought Spurs losing at home to Newcastle was very...
it was a bad performance.
Not one that I would have expected. And they've got to figure out what's happening with Eriksen there. Just seems like they're clogged up. They're congested until they know what's going on with Eriksen. So... yeah, that was not one for the time capsule on a rather ho-hum sort of flat atmosphere.
I think even SD Spurs admitted it was an awful, awful showing by the Spurs.
In Newcastle? Maybe better, but still.
Yeah, and it was in the new stadium.
Yeah.
Chelsea had their struggles at Newcastle for a long time. That's a place Jose and Chelsea would never win.
Can I just ask one quick question? How's the view looking up at Palace?
You know who's playing this weekend? Arsenal. Tottenham, mm-hmm. Emirates, North London Derby, Sunday morning, 8:30 a.m. I'm going to be in the air for this one.
That
I'm not
will
be, able to watch
very, very watchable just because both are coming off, you know, on different levels. Both are coming off some pretty disappointing performances.
Yeah. How's the view from the table?
Hey, man, if I don't get that out here in late August, I'm not going to get it out.
I'm looking up the table right now. You guys are 10th on the table. How many teams have 4 points in this league? You're like in a 10-way tie. You're tied with United. You're technically fifth place. We have the same amount of points. What do you mean looking up at the table?
Just saying.
Oh, my gosh. Just saying. Have this. What's going on in Spain?
Let's see. What's got a tasty Friday matches. I will tell you that. The Basque Derby is Friday. That's Athletic Bilbao hosting Real Sociedad. I feel a special connection since I just visited Basque country just a couple of months ago. Antoine Griezmann. Now, I know, you know, hey, whatever, Barca 5-2 over some club that most English snobs never even heard of. This isn't going to seem all that impressive, but when you think no Messi, you think no Suarez, no Dembele, it is their home opener, and they fall behind 1-0 early. We talked a little bit about the significance of that match, that, you know, hey, Betis is pretty scrappy, so they can score some goals, but to have Griezmann come out there, score brace in his debut, and then did you like the celebration where he gets the red and blue confetti and he throws it up in the air? Did you see that?
I did not. Where did he get it from?
He just gave it to one of the PR guys who was standing on the sideline, and he told everybody he was going to do it. So it was a little homage to LeBron James because he's such a huge NBA nut. So he had him pour the confetti, threw it up in the air, and made for this amazing picture of him. I'll just say, I understand that nobody's going to really care or remember that performance other than Barca fans, but that's a performance that you never got from Coutinho, and you know that there had been this knock on Griezmann that, you know, could he come up big when his club needed him most? That had been out there a little bit. Now, I'm not saying the second match of the 2019-2020 campaign is when they need him most, but in the absence of Messi and Suarez, who are sitting in the stands with their kids, I thought that was pretty significant. So that was a good way to make a first impression with the crowd there in Spain. So off to Osasuna this weekend in Pamplona. Champions League. I mean, that's. I think Barca fans are warming to him a lot quicker than I would have thought. I thought he was going to have to go through a whole season, but you know, that's the kind of thing. Again, just sort of lost in the shuffle of a random weekend to start the season in August when people are still on vacation. That you know shouldn't go unnoticed. At least not to me. Madrid loses at home. Sevilla top of the table. Julen Lopetegui. Only two clubs in Spain are perfect. Sevilla also plays this Friday. So a pretty tasty couple of Friday games in Spain. And then into the weekend we go.
All right. It's really easy to hate the Barca side with the players involved. But I look forward to following them this season.
Whatever.
Madrid, I don't know what to think of them. So the final group stage.
Even possible to hate Barca when they roll out a 16-year-old from their academy.
But it's Suarez. It's Griezmann. It's this obnoxious. It's just Coutinho. At least he's gone now. I don't know. I see on your front page right now on ESPN.com, there's a story on Gunnosaurus. Do you know who Gunnosaurus is? He is Arsenal's mascot. ESPN has a full feature this morning on Gunnosaurus.
Soccer's made it. Soccer's here.
Do you know the story? I'm going to give you a quick summary on Gunnosaurus.
Please.
According to the story, according to Arsenal officials back in 1994, construction workers at their stadium found an egg. They found an egg, Darren, in the ground, and the egg started to crack, and a dinosaur came out of this egg. It was Gunnosaurus, and Gunnosaurus was then given an Arsenal kit, a full kit. He was full kit Gunnosaurus, and that's how they adopted a new mascot, according to Arsenal. I think it's a stupid story.
Yes, I'm glad you told it.
Yeah. But ESPN.com thought it was good enough to headline today. I don't understand why. I think it's silly.
Okay. If I could just go back to Barca for a second, I do want to shout out the new location for the local supporters group, the local Peña, Serrano's Taco Bar downtown. Fabulous spot, terrific food, great margaritas. So
tacos looked amazing.
Shout out to my people. Hey, shout out. Yes, everybody should go there.
They didn't even see that. If we're going to do this, you got to do it right, my man. There you go. Now, that's a screenshot.
That's a screenshot. Yeah, but the spot was solid. I will be out of town this weekend, so I can't join them again. But I look forward to a nice, long season. Met the owner. Fabulous guy. So head on down if you're a Barca fan of Serrano's.
Very nice. Looking forward to that. All right, Darren, I'm going to be away for the next couple of weeks. I'm off to Italy this weekend. I'll see you in a few. Okay. I think you might have a lot of news in the next couple of weeks when it comes to soccer.
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so too. So we'll keep you posted. Follow along. We're on YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and of course, the iHeart platform. You can find us on iHeart and our sponsor, Three Punk Ales and Sport Clips. Sport Clips here on the Unnamed Soccer Podcast.
I need to go to Sport Clips immediately. Like right now. I'm struggling. As now we can see on YouTube. By the way, you know what else we can see on YouTube? Glasses.
Oh, wow.
Do I look smarter?
You look like a librarian.
Are my soccer takes even better?